gosh. Hi, everyone. My heart is beating so fast. I don't know about you, but introverts like me, whenever we're going on live broadcasts, I get such nervous energy. I'm not like George Kagwe, who's an extrovert and gets all excited to do these things. So right now I'm like, do-do. But yeah, I'm really excited that this is happening. I'm so happy that you guys are tuned in. We're doing a topic that someone, a friend of mine, not actually a friend of mine, I asked this question a few months back as to what conversations, what topics do you think we should cover on Just the Mom on or on my social media pages. And one lady talked about the fact that recently, especially over this season of Corona and being at home with our kids, there's been a lot of cases arising up, sex molestation, people molesting children, sexual abuse, young children being exposed to sex and basically learning these things from the world or learning these things from watching things on the internet or from their friends. And how can we as parents begin to have these conversations and to get these conversations in the right way? So I decided to invite one of my good friends who has experience talking to children. My friend is Mercy Njoki, and she's joining us today on our live. Hi, Mercy. Mercy. Oh my gosh, we're having a technical hitch. I can't see her anymore. She's left the broadcast. I think that we're having a technical issue. But in the meantime, as she's trying to get back online, watch out, my producer tries to call her and finds out what has happened. I want to check in and see whether there are any comments coming in or if there are any questions. Technical hitches. These are the times these things happen only when we go live. Sips water. Anyway, so Mercy Njoki is a counseling psychologist. She has she works in a school and works with children, and I feel like her experience with conversations with kids in school will be really helpful for us. There you are. My gosh, I almost had a heart attack. What was I going to do for a whole hour? I wouldn't know what to talk. I don't know what I'd have told people, by the way. I was about to panic and broadcast. Hi, Mercy. Thank you for coming back. What happened? Technical hitches.
I decided to go tech and it didn't work. To talk to my husband. Real babe!
You disconnected the.
I did not touch anything.
Okay, so.
I just talk. He's like, why did you touch it?
Anyway, thank God you're back. So I was just introducing the topic and saying I've invited my friend Mercy Njoki, who's a counseling psychologist, to have this important conversation. So yes, Mercy, say hi to everybody. Say hi to everyone, and introduce yourself. Tell them who you are.
All right, hi everyone. My name is Mercy Njoki, as you've heard. I am a counseling psychologist by training. I am also in another sphere of my life. I'm also a singer and songwriter, but I'm here in the capacity of a counseling psychologist. So I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. Hello. It's so good to see you. I know we call ourselves friends, but we haven't seen each other in months. Isolation life hasn't been easy on people. And yes, I can see the comments. People are joining us. Thank you so much, Red Light OKE. This is such an important topic. Thanks for doing this. And there's Glado Waidaka. Oh, that's my cousin. Thanks for. We are here patiently and looking forward. And my mom, as usual, thank you, mommy, for being so loyal. Important conversation at this time. So keep your comments and questions coming as we have this conversation. If you have any concerns or any questions, this is the time to have them and ask them, because there's somebody here who can guide us in this in this topic. So I think I'll start by asking, at what age should we start having this conversation with our children? At what age should we talk about sex?
Thanks. All right. So as early as possible. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole idea, sex cannot be removed from sexuality. Yeah. Sex is a part of sexuality. And sexuality has to do with How we identify ourselves, male, female, our body parts, how we dress, how we, you know, there's so much that goes into sexuality. So when I say as early as possible, I don't just mean sex, the topic, I mean the things that lead to it, right?
Okay.
So a good place to start with the young ones, even as young as 2-3, is to start teaching them the parts of their body and naming them what they are actually called, right?
Okay.
If you think about it, we don't use names like vagina often. I don't recall anyone, or maybe in a biology class, right, where you learn about your body parts and this is a penis, this is a vagina. But out here, nobody, we don't really open up and start saying, oh, you know, his penis or my vagina feels this way. There's a bit of shame around naming those parts of our bodies.
Yes.
So start early so that there's no shame around those parts of our bodies. There's no hiding around that conversation. You get what I mean?
I get
what that means. That then is going to build up. So it's as early as possible. You'll see kids as they 3, 4, 5 years old, they're talking about, let's say, kissing. Again, kissing is not sex, but at a point in a certain setup, it leads to sex, right? Like, given the setup. So don't shy away from kissing happens. Who should kiss? You know, so when they're younger, you're probably telling them it's mom and dad.
Exactly. Right.
Mom and dad are the ones who kiss. So it's the thing, it's the conversations that are around sex that you need to start early. Okay. Yeah?
Yes.
Name the body parts. No shame around that. Kissing comes up. Yeah? So in where I've worked and where I work, we've had conversations around, okay, you kiss this, you guys like to kiss your children on the lips, and that's great. That's not a bad thing. But then your kids then come to school and they want to kiss each other. And a boy, let's say, kisses a boy, or a girl kisses a girl. And the thing is, you want to start explaining that activity, because I like to say to parents, when they're 3 years old, it's cute.
Yes.
When they're 13, you're like, that's not the way it was supposed to go, right?
Right.
So start as early as possible and keep it simple. Keep it simple. Listen out for their questions. See what they're watching, right? They're watching a lot of cartoons. Cartoons these days have little boyfriends and little girlfriends. And just kind of have a conversation that is age appropriate around that. What does that mean that the two have kissed, right? Or the two are getting married. What does that mean? And hear them. So don't preempt. Sometimes just hear. Just ask them, hey, what's going on with these two? And hear where their minds are at. But that is you starting the conversation. Yeah. Okay. So when you think about sex, it's like this big, very mountain. We stay away from this topic thing. But breaking it down, it's very doable. So start as early as possible. Start with naming the body parts so that there's no shame around that. You know, things, little things we do like kissing, small intimate actions, explain them and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, that's really helpful, because what I'm hearing from you is, like, for example, because I had the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom since Taji was born, when I'm giving her a bath, I shouldn't use words like susu or, you know, I should actually call it the vagina.
Vagina, yes.
Vagina, and this is the, okay, I use the word bum. Is the word bum okay? Am I sorry? I think it's age-appropriate, I feel.
Yeah, when you talk about what language we use and around the area of child protection, which I know you want to go into maybe later, they do encourage us to use the right names.
Okay.
I think the whole idea is to remove shame around the body parts, right?
Yes.
Remove that hiding feeling so that if anything ever happened, if you ask Taji, did anyone touch your vagina? You know, one, he's not asking what's that. But also, two, she's not feeling shame around it. You get what I mean? But I'm looking at our local context because a lot of the things that we are encouraged and advised to do are also from Maju, from the States and the UK. And their primary language is English, okay? So if you're going to name a part, their parts are in English.
True.
So I'm thinking for us locally, it's just to remove the shame around it. Yes, it's called a vagina. Call it a vagina if you guys speak a lot of English in your house. I think there's no reason a local family cannot call it a susu.
Right.
But also he should know that it's also called a penis. You get what I mean? I would discourage people from feeling like they can't use susu and things like that, because we are local. We have to embrace that this is Kenya, this is Africa, these are the languages we use. Mm-hmm. But let it not be a shame thing. Don't call it a susu because you're hiding away from calling it a penis.
Right.
Because then there's a hiding behind it, there's a shame behind it. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what we are removing. That's what we are trying to break away from. So that then we're able to say, I'm feeling itchy on my penis, or I'm feeling, you know, and they call it, and it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Okay, so I think that's really helpful for me, and I hope it's also helpful for parents as well, because for us it means that we have to start erasing the shame ourselves. Because children don't know that, they don't know shame. We're the ones who introduce the shame to them, so we need to remove the shame from our minds, understand that these are the body parts that God created, and that our children need to know what they are, what they are for, and have the age appropriate conversations as early as possible. So let me just go into the comments for a bit. I can see Emma Terry Wanjohi saying, good topic, ready to learn. Thank you for this, dear Karemi and Masi. Thank you so much, Emma, for tuning in and for checking in. Thank you for your comments. They keep us going. If you have any questions, don't forget to post them so that we can answer them as we go along. Mm-hmm. So now we've talked about at what age do we start. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it's actually possible to cover age-appropriate conversations for all children, but how do we figure out this is appropriate for my child? Like Taji is four.
Yeah.
Other people have older children. Mm-hmm. So do they then go with... I'll take something you said earlier. You said listen to what they're saying and then engage them from that point. Like find out how... Do you go into the conversation with what they know and then guide them from there, or do you just is that how we should go about it? Because with Taji, I think I have an idea of how much is appropriate. Mm-hmm. What about people with older children? Yeah. How do they go about it?
There's a point you made that I want to start on, because I think it governs everything we talk about with our children. Where sex is concerned, you said we have to ourselves remove the shame, and I think it's really important for us to really sit with ourselves and think about what is your relationship with the conversation of sex and private parts, because how you were raised and what you are raised to believe around the topic of sex is how you're going to introduce it to your child. Mm-hmm. So we have parents who will totally stay away from that topic. Like, why are you touching yourself there? And they'll never even name the part, you know.
True.
Like, this is not for babies. And it ends there, you know.
Right.
Because that is how probably you are raised. So I think the biggest point to make is, what is your own relationship with the conversation of sex and your body parts? Are you able to talk about them without shame, without embarrassment? That's the place to start. So age-appropriate ways to talk about children. I think a safe place, because it's a fear thing for us parents. You're like, Rere, if I can call you out, kidogo, when you prayed, you are like, help us as we talk about, and then you whispered, right? You are like...
Right, because you were like,
So there's a bit of anxiety around, I haven't talked to my child about it, and then I don't want to have to, you know, can the dad take it up? You, mom, you go and talk to the child, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's more calming when I say, start with the child, where the child is. What does the child know? So they might not ask you questions, but you know what they have watched, because you're the ones who've given them the videos to watch, and look around those themes and start having, you know, boys and girls can play together, you know, but what he did was wrong, or what she did, that's not for now, you know, because cultures are different. So it's a good place to start, with what they know, with what they already know. Start there, and then speak into it. When I say age appropriate, don't start saying, so dad has a penis, mom, maybe they're not ready for that. It's 4 years old.
Right. Okay.
So just you hear what they know, and it's so innocent, and you're like, oh, that's all. Okay, so this is a vagina, or boys and girls kiss on TV, but for us, what are your values also around sex? Exactly. You get what I mean? When they're young, they believe you as Bible truth. Mm. And if your relationship with them is good, they hold on to that family value, even when they get into teenagehood and now they want to experiment and they're conflicted. Because you have a good relationship with them, they still follow through with your family values. So what is your value around sex? They will see people kiss on TV when they're young. If you as mom or dad says, this is not how it's supposed to be when they're young, they believe you, all right? So they start saying, yeah, I saw, but that's not how it's supposed to be, because they believe you, you're passing on your values. So just hear where they're at. Understand also that videos pop up. Kids are on the internet now a lot. You give them your phone, they're on YouTube, then an ad shows up. So really keep your eyes open and your ears open. And look at the themes around what they're watching. Here, there are questions. At around 7, 8, 9, they might come and say, hey, Emma told me she likes me. I was like, really? What does that mean?
Right.
She brought me a sweet or something. And calm yourself down. I say often to parents, it doesn't mean that they're going to hide behind a room and start doing things. Explore with the child. She likes you. So what do you guys do now that you like each other? You know, don't make it a, I don't want to hear about this. This world we live in now, that cannot be your mind frame. You need to explore and engage. So when they start saying so-and-so likes me, so-and-so brought me a rose, it's Valentine's Day. You know, sit with them and know what it means, this relationship of theirs. You know, I have a, you know, there's a, I think he was 8 or 9 and he was like, she's beautiful and really smart. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and here, so that you're able then to guide him into, so what do you guys get up to? And so hopefully early, when they were 3, 4, as you named their parts, you also told them your private parts are private.
Yes.
Everybody has their own parts. Right. Nobody should touch yours, and you shouldn't touch anyone else's. And that goes again into that safety conversation that, you know, we want to have. How do they stay safe? Yeah. So you're saying private, these are your parts and they're private, meaning nobody should touch them. So even when they're 8 or 9, they're knowing there's nothing like, show me yours, I show you mine. You know, you know that one you've just gone wrong, but I'm doing something wrong. They are aware because you taught them as they were growing. Yeah, but always start from where they are. Always start from where they are. Science is showing that puberty now is starting at around 8 years old. At 8 years old, their bodies are, some kids are even starting to start their menses. Some girls are starting their period when they're 8, when they're 9. And those are conversations you need to start having. This is what it means now that you're on your period. It means that if you have sex, so hopefully you have started saying, when mom and dad came together, they got a baby. And what happens is that they have sex. Well, that's probably 8 or 9. And then some kids are just not so exposed, and that's fine.
Right.
So don't be the evangelist. Don't be the one like, let me now tell you now. Just walk with them where they are. Breathe and walk with them where they are.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know if that has helped you in any way.
It has. Thanks for that. I can see some comments coming in relation to what we're talking about. Red letter KE, I introduced my 2-year-old to this topic of private parts, and I'm amazed that she understands already that no one else other than mommy should see or touch those parts. Exactly. Thank you so much for that, Red letter KE. Gladwell has a question. with pecking or kissing our babies and they kiss us back. At what point do you let them know not to kiss or peck other people without making it sound like a bad thing? Give example sentences, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wamboi, awesome conversations. Asante sana. Thank you guys for all the comments and the questions coming in. Keep them coming. We will. So let's deal with the pecking one.
The pecking and the kissing.
Right.
Okay. So daddy will kiss Taji on the mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Then maybe Taji will go and kiss Kamau on the mouth. Mm-hmm. We don't discourage. I mean, how you do your raising of your children is up to you. You just need to be sensitive to explain it. So it's right. You can say things like it's special between you, me and daddy, or me and mommy and daddy, but sometimes daddy can also kiss me. But that they are aware that that is only the circle that we do this kissing thing, right? Mm-hmm. Something else that you could do is to just explain to them that even as we say private parts are private and everything, mm-hmm. there are people who don't like it. You get what I mean?
Right.
Please don't go kissing everybody because not everybody will like it and not everybody in their home kisses. Mm-hmm. Us, we kiss, but it's just me and you because mm-hmm. daddy loves you and daddy loves mommy. And right. just kind of explain it in that way, yeah?
Right.
As they grow older, they'll get it. I mean, our society is so high-strung about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. I doubt a child is in class 2 kissing another boy publicly. They already know this is a private thing. Mm. And if they do it, they'll do it somewhere hidden. You get what I mean?
I guess.
So
right.
It's only for mom and dad. It's when I kiss you, it's because I love you. But it's only for our family. And so they know not to do it to others because their mommy might not be happy. So don't do it because we're not in the same home. You know, it's really not so complicated. It's just because how we were raised.
Exactly.
It's so heavy. Like when you think about it, you're just like, hey, you know, and this. But when you break it down, it's like, oh, this is doable. This is doable. And it's going to save us so much trouble as the kids grow. You get what I mean?
I get.
Because then they're not hiding around the topic. Yeah.
Dude, kabisa. I hope that's helpful, Gladwell. That makes a lot of sense. There was something I wanted us to go into. I feel like now that we've talked to the child about the appropriateness, I mean, an age-appropriate conversation about their body parts, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is also the point we introduce the safety of the child. Like, sadly, we live in a world where not everybody can be trusted around our children. So we have to start talking to them early about the people out there and how people might not always have the best intentions. How do we then start having those, how do we empower them to protect themselves when they're around other people? How do we start the conversation? Because we're trying to protect them from molestation and abuse. Right. So how do
I like what one of the people who commented said, my 2-year-old already understands who is supposed to touch her private parts. Yeah. So when you're explaining it to children, and listen, I don't want people to think, oh, because I didn't do it when my child was 8, now my child is 15, it's too late. You know, I don't want people to feel like that. You meet your child where they are and just start that conversation in a very relaxed, in a very casual way. Mm-hmm. But around safety is that past moving the shame around the parts, right? Mm-hmm. So you have already said this is your vagina or this is your susu, but please teach them also the other names because in a different setting, people might not know what susu is. Let them know at least one or two names, okay? Expose them to the names. But then you're also telling them private parts are private. When we have like kindergarten is 3, 4, 5 year olds. What does it mean? It means those areas of your body. So for girls, you start even from the breast area, right? Mm-hmm. The parts that are covered by your swimming costume. This information is online, by the way, you know.
Yes.
the parts that are covered by your swimming costume, those are the parts that are not touched. So if you ask a guy which parts are covered by your swimming costume, they're talking about their breast area, their chest area, their stomach, their bottom, their buttock, their vagina area, right? So an easy way for kids to remember nobody should touch. And who should touch? Maybe it's a doctor when you take them to see the doctor. Maybe it's mom or maybe it's mom and dad. And we can't tell you, you know, your health help should not watch your child. I don't know how you run your home. That's how you run your home. But there has to be a lot of trust around that area.
Definitely.
Who is allowed to do that? So even as you're washing them, as you're cleaning them, it's good to ask questions like, hey, did anybody touch you over here today? You know?
Right.
If there's a relaxed sense around it, they might say yes, or they might even bring it up like, you know, today so and so, then I told them to stop, you know, because there's no shame, there's no fear around it. So a good way to explain to young children is to say the parts that are covered by your swimming costume, and that goes even into prep school, primary, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they all understand the areas that are covered by your swimming costume are called private. Nobody should touch yours. You shouldn't be touching anybody's. Everybody's body is their own, okay? You're also telling them it's okay to say no. It's okay if someone is doing something you don't like. And let me tell you, we live in a society, I think we talked about this maybe some years ago, Rere, where we insist that a child should go and kiss their auntie or their uncle, you know, like hug them. And they're uncomfortable around. If they're not comfortable, it's okay. Because then you're teaching them to overlook their instinct of, I don't like this. I don't like how this feels. And just go ahead with it because the adult has said.
Yes. You get what I mean? Yes. I get what you mean.
If your child is not comfortable, let it be. Let it be and have their back. Like, just say, no, she doesn't like to hug. But you can wave. But you can wave. So then they see you having their back, and that way they can tell you so and so did, and I didn't like it. Or they can open up because they know if they tell you, you have their back. You get so private parts are private. Swimming costume, where does it cover? Those are the private parts. You touch your own, I touch my own, and I'm not talking about masturbation.
Understood.
I just mean don't go touching people, and you stay private as well. Know the names of those parts. What area specifically are we talking about? And what you don't like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no and let me know. I'm going to believe you when you tell me. So tell me. Okay? So in that sense, I have your back. I think we didn't have enough of those conversations growing up. And so if you talk to a lot of adults, they'll say, I was abused when I was a child. And and they didn't tell anybody, you know. So starting now, that's really the conversation to have. It's your relationship with them. It's your proactiveness around body parts. There's no shame in that. What are you not comfortable with? Telling them things like, don't keep bad secrets. What's a good secret? Kids understand a good secret. It's your birthday. We surprised you. That's a good secret. But if something uncomfortable was done and someone says, don't tell anyone, you say that's not a good secret to keep. That's not a good secret, especially because you didn't like it. So we don't keep secrets. So those are things that you just keep communicating. But you have to understand, you can preach water and drink wine. So you can be ticking off, I've told them private parts, I've told them no secrets, but when they tell you that Elsie told me she likes me, you hit the roof.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, what?
You're in school to run. Who is Elsie? How you respond to them when they tell you such things will determine if they ever tell you again.
Anything.
So learn, first of all, what is your own relationship around sex, around that conversation, around relationships, boy-girl relationships, about, you know, so that you know what you need to work on. So when the topic comes up, you are calm.
Exactly.
You are calm, and then you're able to tell them, these are your parts, these are private, Don't feel uncomfortable. If you don't like it, I have your back, girl. I have your back. You don't have to kiss Joshua. It's all right. You get what I mean?
Understood.
Yeah. So I get it.
So basically create a safe space at home first so that they can always come to you with any questions, any concerns. And I really love that point you brought up about forcing our children to say hello to people or forcing them to hug adults or strangers is something that we need to stop as African parents. It's like if your child has refused to say hello to an adult, they kind of feel like it's we have to force them to do it. Your child's instincts are from God. Our instincts, I believe, are from God. If your child is uncomfortable, don't force them. I want to go into some comments and questions that are showing. Mwende talked about we had to talk to our daughter. Hi, Mwende. Thank you for checking in. We had to talk to our daughter, I think, when she was 4 or 3 because she was pecking all her friends in school. You see, the conversation started then. Wambui, Angie, Kisianya, thank you so much for checking in into our live. Kindly give a step-by-step guide on how to start the conversations. I have 3, 5, and 7-year-olds. We covered that a bit already, Wamboi, but we'll continue to have the conversation as we go along. Kenji Keremi, this is a great discussion. Hi, thanks for checking in. Adud. I always get excited when I see a guy live, by the way, because it's like we're having a coffee date just with women. So when a guy checks in, even better. This is a great discussion. Thanks, ladies. How do you deal with your child at the age of 8 having a gay friend? Kindly note that they have grown a deep friendship. Wow. That's a conversation to think about. Hi, Melissa. Yay, lovely ladies. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for checking in. There's another comment on Facebook from Wendette. Children today at a very young age, especially those who have been socializing with other children, get exposed to a lot because of differing family values. When my daughter was 5, she shared with me that one of her friends said that in their country, girls marry girls. After fainting 10 times in my head, I read her the Adam and Eve story and told her what God wants, but not everyone listens to God. Fainted after entire conversation. I feel you so much, Mwende. That also touches again on the sexuality bit about, you know, gay friends. There are a lot of cartoons nowadays with gay characters. Yeah, we'll touch on that in a bit. I don't want to miss out on the comments. And Red Letter KE is saying, while this conversation is so good, I'm learning so much. It's okay to say no. Do not keep secrets. Loving this. Thank you, Red Letter KE. Melissa, I love that. Let your child know that you have their back and that I, as the parent, will believe them no matter what. And the distinction between a good and a bad secret. Awesome. Mm-hmm. They're listening, Marcy. You're doing awesome. You're teaching us a lot. I'll take all these notes after. I have my notebook here. Peter Kidaka, thank you for checking in. That's my brother-in-law. Could you touch on sleepovers in relation to the topic of discussion? Very important.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Ocheng, very informative. Nice to hear you, Marcy Njau. Awesome.
Thank you. What's a colleague?
Awesome. Question from Melissa, how do you balance equipping them to establish a healthy boundary and know what is safe and not safe? Versus paranoia, not to start fearing all contact as abuse. Very, very good questions. I foresee us having to have a Q&A session, Marcy. There's a lot of deep conversations.
I don't remember all the questions.
Don't worry about it. I feel like we'll start step by step because I feel like the one we usually keep the live between, you know, a maximum of an hour. So sadly, we might not be able to cover everything. But I feel like the Wamboi had asked about a step-by-step guide. I think we had already covered a bit of that on how to start age-appropriate conversations. The one I want us to deal with is this one. We had talked a little bit about sexuality when we began in the introduction. Yeah. So now we are living in an LGBTQ. I think the letters the letters are increasing by the day.
Yes.
Now, for us as parents, we live in the age where we are not only talking about Adam and Eve anymore. We now have to understand that we live in a reality where there's Adam and Eve, you know, all that LGBTQ stuff. How do we deal with conversations about homosexuality with our children?
Yeah,
because answer the question. How do you deal with your child at the age of 8 having a gay friend? What do you think?
So you might feel like the age of 8 is so early, right? And then surprise, surprise, here is a question. Mm-hmm. When it comes up is when you engage, right? That's good to know your children's friends, their homes, where they're coming from. And that was on my mind. You cannot keep your head in the sand and act like these things are not happening. Cartoons are having gay characters, and now we have a real-life gay friend.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I think it was Mwende who said she went to the Bible. So remember I talked about what are your values around sex?
Right.
What are your values around sex?
Right.
Do not hide from your child, especially now at that age, because already it has come, that in some homes, there's a mommy and a mommy. There are two mommies. There's no daddy. In some homes, there are two daddies. But for us, this is what we stand by. You see, mommy is here and daddy is here. Okay. So it's simple. This is what we believe, and this is why we believe this. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Please be sure to say that we like your friend.
Right.
She's an awesome girl, because I think around this conversation, we have made it a very stay away from them. They are bad people. And that's why I think the movement has grown so big. Because they have been so against them in such an unfriendly way, unfriendly, loving way. And so they're like, we have to fight because we're not accepted. It's not to say we condone it.
Mm-hmm.
Christians, that's not what we follow. And it's okay to tell your child that, but we do like your friend. Imagine your children, have some confidence in your children. Once you have passed on the values and your relationship is good, they are able to say, we don't do that. And they say we, like in our family. In our family, for us, it's boys and girls. But like, don't do this girl and girl thing. And if your relationship is good, they can even tell you if a move was made. You get what I mean? Like, mom, can you imagine? And I had told her, and then she tried, you know, and then you're walking them through now their friendship. Like, you want to think around. Because remember, private space is private space, right?
Right.
People should not be trying moves. We like you, we are friends, but if you're trying moves, you're now in my private space. You want that kind of relationship where your child can identify that, I like you, you're awesome, but in our family, we don't believe that, you know. But wow, age 8, amazing.
Age eight is very, I don't even want to use the word scary, but that is a good question because it brings the reality in our faces that you can't put your head in the sand. You can't act ostrich that these things are not happening. You have to engage. So I believe that question is basically answered in regards to what is your family values? Teach your child what you believe and ensure they follow that and that they feel confident enough to share with their friends the same values.
The friend is not an enemy. Don't try to make the friend an enemy.
Exactly.
I understand they're 8 years old. So if that child is then ostracized and alienated, even that child does not understand why you hit me. You get what I mean?
I get what you mean.
There's love, guys. God will take care of the rest. But this is what our values are. This is what our values. And children own it. When the relationship is good, children will own it, and they'll own it for a good long time.
Wow, thank you so much for that. I hope that has answered your question, Kenji, and it's helping us to have a guide on dealing with. Right. So I wanted to finish with a few comments because we're going into 40 minutes. You see how time goes so fast? It's amazing. Yeah. I feel like an hour is long, but when we start, it's like it's really, really fast. Just a second. I can't hear what you're saying. Yes. So I wanted to read some comments here. For some reason, I can't get the Facebook comments to go on the screen. Let me just read them. Mudhoningari is my sister. Hi. I'm not sure if I missed this earlier, but my question is on kids exploring their own sexual organs. To what extent is this okay, and how should you address it with them, if at all? Margaret Njerimba is saying, do our values count as we respond to our children? Thanks, Marcy. You have responded to my question. She's saying basically family values has been covered. Mudhoni's question is about children's, I think, curiosity with their sexual organs. Are you seeing how many questions we have? We thought we were going to do one live, Mercy. Imagine you'll be forced to do another one just for questions.
Yeah.
So I wanted us to cover this one from Peter, which is I love that question because we've had that discussion in our house. Uh-huh. My daughter is an only child, and we are always wants to sleep over at her friend's house. She always wants to visit because she hates being alone. And we told her, I mean, for us as a family, we don't believe that she's old enough to go for sleepovers. She's too young. We feel like we still want to establish a foundation and teach her all our family values before we release her into the world. Yes. So at least for me, that's my response to that. Because I feel like the younger they are, the more they get exposed to other people's way of life, and they might not be able to deal with that. So anyway, what do you think? Would you like to respond to that comment or question? Could you touch on sleepovers in relation to?
Yeah, I feel like in a good way you've answered the question. When kids are in the initial years,
yes,
you are setting that foundation of values. So we say, create a village around your child, right? You can't you can't raise them just by yourself.
Yes.
But every other home is different. So unless you're very, very close to this family, you know them. You even believe the same things.
Yes.
You might want to just hold off on it and explain it to them right now. I like how you explained to Taji. We just feel you're not old enough, but we will take you there. And you can play the whole day.
Right.
But when it comes to sleeping, you're going to sleep in your bed, you know? Exactly. And to a degree, children might hate you for it, especially when they grow older. They might hate you for it. But I think you have to weigh your own pros and cons as a parent and as a parent body, mom and dad, and decide these are our values, you know? Just the way there are homes where there's no TV, your 16-year-old might end up hating you for it at a point. But this is our value around it, right? So it's just to know these are friends from school. I don't know their parents very well. It's not yet time for that. Or as a family, we just don't. Every home has their own way of doing things. So we prefer for you to go play and everything, but you sleep at home. I think it's okay. It's okay. If you're okay with your kids sleeping over, please know that other family well. Don't try to be a cool parent. Don't try to be a fitting in parent. Like, oh, I don't want to look like I have so many hang-ups. The world is a dangerous place.
Yes, it is.
It's not safe, you know, and it's not to get you
paranoid.
It's just to say values are different.
Yes.
Values are different. In your home, if you guys kiss and it's okay, then they go sleep over and kiss somebody else. In that home, maybe they don't kiss. And then they're like, your child came here, your child is teaching our child bad things. You know, you always think it's your child who will be taught bad things.
Maybe
your child will go teach someone bad things. But bad things is just in our home, this is allowed, you know.
Right.
So think around, do you know this family well? Do you trust them? Do you trust them completely? Like if you died, can you allow them to raise your child?
Raise your child, exactly.
That's a good checklist, you know. Exactly. That maybe you'll be okay with a sleepover. Or you'll just say, you know what, no. And you can even make it sound like you're the drug. Just be like, Mia, I miss you so much. No, I don't want you to stay. When they're younger, they might roll their eyes, but you're just like, no, I'll miss you, and I just want you to be home. Work around it, guys. Work around it. Get creative. You know.
Exactly. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. I hope that has answered your question, Peter. Don't be embarrassed to say no. So Melissa is asking a good question. I feel we'll have to end with this question because we still have something else we wanted to talk about before we end our broadcast. And I have to promise, and Mercy, you will have to do another live. Ha ha ha. This happened with Melissa as well, by the way. We did a live with Melissa on homeschooling. We had to do a second one because of the great questions that were coming in, and we feel like we want to give them enough time. So we'll have to try to another one just to deal with the questions. So we'll end with this one. How do you balance equipping them to establish a healthy boundary and know what is safe and not safe versus paranoia, not to start fearing all contact as abuse?
Children don't know abuse as abuse. They know what made them feel uncomfortable. They know what made them feel uncomfortable, and basically that language is what they didn't like. I didn't like it. Okay. If a child is already showing like I don't like it, when you want to explore that, you want to say, oh, how come, you know, because especially if you're a hugging family, ideally a child should not be, you know, uncomfortable with hugging if you're a hugging family. So if there's a particular person that they don't want to hug, have their back, but have that conversation. Also go back and be like, oh, how come you didn't want to hug so-and-so? And just hear where their minds are at around that, okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a personality thing. I don't think they're fearing it as abuse. I think our mature minds already know what abuse is.
Yes.
Maybe that's my personality or my child's personality, that I'm not very huggy and kissy and wanting to, I'm always hiding behind mommy or daddy, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Take them slowly. If they see you comfortable around these people, if they see you hugging maybe their children, they may not hug day one or day five, but maybe by the 10th visit, they are okay to be hugged. You get what I mean? And they see, because they've seen how we've related with this person, then they see this is safe.
Right.
But what they don't like, they say, I don't like it. Please revisit. Maybe something happened that you didn't know about. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something for you to demystify and say, oh, you know what? This is not a bad person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. I'm okay with you and I'm there and you're safe. But just for this person. But if you don't like it, always tell me. You know, because you never want a child to feel like they should overlook their fears. It's what we say. Overlook the discomfort because we are the adults and the adult has said.
Right.
It's not fair. So revisit that conversation.
Right.
Demystify things for them. And hear where their minds are at. Maybe it's personality, give them time. Maybe it's something that happened that they didn't like. You know, do something about that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Always conversation. If you've noticed, it's an engagement activity. Anything to do with the values and the conversations of the world today, it has to do with relationship. If you have no relationship with your children, if you're not having spaces for conversations, then just forget it. You have left the world. At Kiswahili, we say ata na ulimwengu. Usiyemfunza, asiyefunzwa na mama, funzwa na ulimwengu.
I'm laughing. George is laughing at me because he knows I'm really bad with Kiswahili. But asiyefunzwa na mama,
asiyefunzwa na mamake ufunzwa na babake.
Ah, George, atafunzwa na ulimwengu. Ignore this comedian.
But you get what I mean. If you left it blank,
yes,
somebody is going to inform your child.
You better know that.
If you won't tell them, somebody's gonna tell them. So,
yeah. I can see comments coming in, and I don't know. I feel like maybe we shouldn't end it at 1 hour. Let's continue just for a little bit longer. I can see, Melissa, thank you so much for sharing this resource. A great sex series that I would recommend is called God's Design for Sex by Stan and Brenna Jones. This series has several age-specific books on talking about sex in an easy, practical, and tangible way with kids from age 3 to teenagehood. It's available at the Navigators Bookstore as well as online, Amazon, and eBay. For all the parents who are asking how to give a step-by-step guide on age-appropriate conversations with your children, this is an amazing resource. Thank you so much for that, Melissa.
Yeah.
Look it up. We shall share these links after the broadcast so that you can go look out those resources and use them for your family. When they're saying the latest one, we're talking about LGBTQ. The latest prefix, is it called a prefix? Or anyway, letter is M, a TMAP. People attracted to younger persons. God help us. Those are pedophiles.
This is
why these conversations are necessary, because this is now the world we live in. Such a relevant conversation. Thanks, beautiful lady. Such wisdom. Thank you so much, Mwende. Thank you for encouraging us. Hi, Taji. Yes, I believe you saw Taji checking in with her teddy bear. Well, sorry. She says it's her Pink Panther, not her teddy bear. Sorry, excuse me. Lovely response. Thank you, Melissa. Hey, I'm learning so much. I agree there must be a follow-up Q&A. Thanks so much. There was one question that my sister Mulvani had asked. I don't know, I'm not able to put it on the screen, but she was talking about... let me read it again. I'm not sure if I missed this earlier, but my question is on children exploring their own sexual organs. Mm-hmm. What extent is this okay, and how should we address it with them, if at all? We can end with that question.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are, and again, a good resource is called Sexual Behaviors Traffic Lights Tool. Mm-hmm. I think I can share it later because it shows at what level it's okay. That your child is engaging in, like, you know, lifting their dresses and, you know, showing people their private parts. There is an age where that's appropriate. When they're 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. it's normal for them to be touching their parts and to be exploring. And again, that's why we've said it's a good time to start saying, this is your body part, this is what it's named, private mm-hmm. parts are private, and things like that. That age is normal. By the time they're 6, 7, 8, they know. We don't go around touching ourselves. So again, that's something, if you notice your child doing that, that's something to be like, okay, I need to look into this. Mm-hmm. Because it's not the age where they should be doing this. So the sexual behaviors traffic lights tool is a really good one. It's online and it just tells you what is okay. So there's green, like that is age appropriate. There's amber where you might want to be like, okay, something's wrong. And red is pay attention. This should not be happening at this age. And it goes all the way to, I think, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So that it tells you even in teenage when they're exploring. Like it's mm-hmm. not when you see your teen talking about the kissing a girl kissing another girl and they kissed another girl. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to, like, be like, oh my God, you know, because the world is moving. But you then understand that maybe it's amber for you. It's not green because you don't want your daughter to be kissing another girl, probably. Those are not your values.
Yes.
So it's time to revisit this because they are looking for their identity. Mm-hmm. They're looking for identity. And, you know, if this is happening in my world, I'm watching, I like this gay characters. This. So they're exploring. Again, teenagers explore. So for you, that's probably amber and, you know, maybe red. You know, red. But understanding just by science and research that your child at that age is exploring their identity. Yes. So it's a good tool to use. I'm going to just share it with you or you can tell you what to look for online.
Great.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you for that, Masi. I hope that has answered your question, Mudoni. And as we've promised, after this, we'll post all the links and the resources that have been shared on this live so that we can go equip ourselves as parents. We have no choice, people. We have to educate ourselves and do the necessary so that we can guide our children in the right way. So, Matthew, before we end this week, I mean, I always like to give this time before we end for you to talk about other projects that you're doing. And so that after this, people know where to find you, your social media handle, that you're working on, how we can continue to support you. And this is a season where we are creating a community where we'll keep supporting each other, because as we know, this the past few months have been really hard on people, and any way we can support each other, this is the time to do it. So market yourself, tell us.
That's hilarious.
Tell us
a marketer of myself,
I shall force you to do so.
Yeah, all right. Well, I did say I'm a singer and songwriter, and then I'm a counseling psychologist by training, and I handle both with equal importance. It's for me, my purpose and my calling, each of them. I was off social media for slightly over a year. I just got back, I think, 2 weeks ago or three weeks ago.
Right.
And basically the reason I got back, and I'm going to be communicating this on my platforms as well, is to give be an encouragement, uplift people in song and word. Yeah.
Right.
In song, I probably go back to singing, but in word is different angles. That anyone does want to talk to me as a professional.
Right.
Counseling psychology is my background. I am a practicing counseling psychologist. To just hear me, like send me a direct message. Let's have a conversation. Because as well, I feel in this season, it's hard for people, like you said, and it's something that really is needed. People really do need to process their lives and what's going on.
Right.
And what's coming up for them. It was always a need, but now I think it's just made it a lot more intense. Yeah. So it's give of my service, and I'm going to be saying the same thing on my platforms. If you need to talk to someone, to hit me up, send me a direct message, and we can see how to pick that up for you, that I want to give of my service in that way. And I'll just be talking and I'll be singing on my platform. So that's something to look out for. I'm going to launch it soon. It's titled In Song and Word. And so I'm getting back to just encouraging people and speaking truth to people and informing people. And singing and blessing people in that way.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that, Mercy. We want to support you. We want to cheer you on. And so that's why we are even putting on our screen. If you have any M-Pesa love gifts, please send them to that number. We will share them with Mercy because we believe in supporting each other during this season. Most of us are not struggling financially. That's just the honest truth. And even if it's 10 bob, 20 bob, whatever you feel you want to send to this number, we will appreciate it. And we thank you in advance. We've been receiving your contributions and we thank you so much. You don't know what that money does for people like us who are content creators. It keeps us going. It helps us to pay a bill here and there. And we're able to continue giving you this value. We are able to have these sessions. We're able to pay for Wi-Fi. We are able to do these things. So it's a real thing. It's been hard to ask for money, by the way. But we are in a season where we also have to understand that when you're giving value, you should not feel embarrassed to ask for help. So thank you so much for everybody who's been sending. We are looking forward to seeing your projects for music. We've missed your singing. There's like 52. If you go on YouTube, Mercy did this project with her husband called, was it a song for 52 weeks? 52 songs, yes. 52 weeks.
52 weeks, 52 songs. Yes.
Exactly. So she's an amazing singer. We're glad to see you coming back. We have had it on this live. So they are witnesses now, Mercy. So now you've had all of you who are listening and you're a parent and you feel like during this season has been difficult for you and your child. Maybe you're feeling like they're going through a lot of, they're having a lot of meltdowns or they're not being able to process what's happening during this season. Mercy's available for one-on-one sessions for that. That is what she's trained in. So hit her up. Talk to her. The support is here, guys. Don't feel alone. And so for our next session, because I feel like we still need to do this again, please send in all your questions either on these pages or to the WhatsApp number that's scrolling on the screen, and we will have to plan for another Q&A session. And I believe that's it. Thank you so much, everyone, for the comments have really kept me going. Thank you so much for your I can see the comments coming in. Well said, Rere. Love gift number 10. So the number is 0111-783-303. It's on the screen. Thank you for your comments, your great questions. We are all learning together. We're all supporting each other. We will see you in the next live broadcast. And Mercy, do you need to say anything as we leave? It's your last kwaheri.
Yeah.
Have you heard?
We look a lot is our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm here. Oh, can you see me?
No, I feel like those are
guys.
Composed.
I know we all. This is just bizarre. Yeah, I know we all think we turned out okay,
right?
And how we were raised, and we thank God that we turned out okay. But let me tell you, the key to your own relationships with your children, and even the people around you, is yourself and understanding where you're coming from. So whether it's the sex conversation or other areas of how you view life and how you approach it, please explore yourself. Learn who you are, where you're coming from, what are your biases. It's going to hold the key to so much. It's going to hold, it starts with you. Just understand that.
Oh, what a great way to end. Thank you so much, Mercy. I'm not going to say anything more. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye, everyone.